Well, good morning again to each one. Have a message of encouragement today that I'd like to share with you. I'd like to write it on the board. I've written on the board, yet I will rejoice. I feel like today, not just feel like it, I know this, God wants us to be encouraged. The Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged. Regardless of what is going on around us, God wants a people that are encouraged in Him. We serve a God today that is, He's alive. He's real. We serve Him because He is the great I Am. He wants to do special things, not just for us, but for you. And He wants our lives to feel and experience the presence of His Almighty Spirit. He doesn't want us to go through life just plodding through our Christian life, just trying to push through and barely making it, and we hope this is the right way, and nothing seems to be working out, but I guess I'll go ahead and do this anyway. I know we feel that sometimes, but God wants us to be encouraged today. I feel especially inspired with this message of encouragement because we live in a time and a world that contains disappointment. That's the reality of it. We live in a time that contains unexpected challenge. Not just challenge, we are faced with unexpected, unpredictable challenge. And we're faced with things in life that are simply bigger than we are. They're bigger than what we can handle on our own. And because of that, it can be very easy for us to become discouraged. Sometimes just when we think everything's coming together for good. You ever been there? You think, okay, finally, everything seems to maybe be coming together and in order. Then the unexpected happens, and there we are, finding ourselves starting to sink. And I also thought about how the enemy works. We're just coming out of the camp meeting season. Many of us have just got back from Monarch. And I hope this morning that we are here feeling revived. I hope we're feeling encouraged. I hope we feel filled up in the Lord. But here's how the enemy works. The enemy would like, and the scripture tells us this, he is one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he would like to take from you what you received at Monarch. He would like to take from you what you have received during this camp meeting season. He would like to push the erase button. When I was growing up, my mom and dad had a tape ministry. Some of the older ones may remember this. They would send out cassette tapes all across the U.S., maybe outside of the U.S. And we had a whole wall full of cassette tapes. And if there was a tape that had something on it that wasn't needed anymore, they had this device that was specifically designed. It was basically a magnet. And it was designed so that you could slip the cassette tape through, and you could slip that thing through several times and erase what was on the tape. Then you have a tape, there's nothing there. We used to be something there, thought there was something there, but you slip it through that a few times and just erased it. The enemy would like to take your experience, he would like to take the ground that you have gained and slip you through the eraser. So that you come out the other side and it's like, well, that's not even there anymore. That's what he would like to do. Would like to make you think that, well, what you got a hold of wasn't really real. You just experienced an emotional high, an emotional experience. But the reality for you is life that you now have to face. You're still you. You still have the same struggles. You didn't really get a hold of anything that's sustainable and lasting. That is the enemy. God is real. His Spirit is real. His power and His grace is real. And the enemy would like to cause us to believe that we've lost what we thought we had gained. So expect it and prepare for it. I had a boss many years ago, and he told me one time, he said, look, he said, forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. In other words, if you know that it's coming, well, then arm yourself and you can be prepared for when it does come. Well, that's the warning. Just letting you know, if the enemy hasn't already got to you, he's on his way. And he will eventually catch up with you and try to take away from you the special thing and victory that God has given you. So this morning I'd like to encourage you with an exhortation of Habakkuk. I'd like to turn to the third chapter of Habakkuk. Habakkuk the 17th verse in the third chapter. Give you a moment to find that. Habakkuk is a small book, and it's at the very end. Right before Zephaniah and after Nahum. Habakkuk 3 and 17, listen to what he says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And I want to pause and reflect on what we just read. When I read this verse, what strikes me is that there was all of the structure in place that was needed for good to result. The structure was there. The time, the energy, the work processes, the heart was all there for good to come about. It said, the fig tree, although the fig tree shall not blossom. The fig tree was there. Somewhere along the line, the fig tree was planted. The seed was put in the ground. The sun shone. It was exposed to rain. The branches were there. But for some reason, it didn't blossom. The vines were there. Maybe somebody planted the vines and was a husbandman to the vines and took care of them and trimmed off the things that weren't good for it and put it in on the side of the hill where the sun could shine on it. And it got just the right amount of water, but no fruit came out of it. The olive, the labor of the olive shall fail. There was labor that was put in to having fruit, but there was no fruit. The fields were there. You look at the farmer's fields. You know, there's my wife's dad was a farmer most of his life. And they work hard on those fields. They plow the fields. They prepare the fields. They fertilize the fields. They plant the seed. But this says nothing came forth. But you did everything you knew to do. Everything was there. You thought you did everything that needed to be done for fruit and for good to come forth, but it wasn't there. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. The fold was built. The structure was there. Safety was intended to be there. A fold was intended to be for the flock, but it got cut off and they weren't even able to get into the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. The stalls were built. They were there. They were appointed for the herd, but the herd wasn't there. Have you ever felt this in life? You know, it strikes me that Habakkuk didn't just say, and although the fig tree shall not blossom, and then go on to the 18th verse. But he stepped through all of these different areas. We have different areas in our lives that are important to us, that we put time and we put effort into so that good can come forth. Don't all of us do that? And we probably felt that this has happened. Different segments of our lives. We have relationships we work on. We have jobs and we do everything we know to do to make this job right. We show up to work on time. We work hard. We try to be respectful. We try to have a good work output. But it didn't turn out. I have a relationship with someone and I'm trying to develop it. But it just didn't go where I thought it was going to go. I had a family and I did everything with my children that I needed to do that was right and good. And I wanted this to turn out in this way. But then it didn't seem to turn out that way. God gave me a place to fill in His body. And I did everything I needed to do and I sacrificed and gave myself to it. But it just didn't seem like the fruit was there that I expected. Maybe our own Christian experience with God. We did everything we knew to do that was right, and yet it didn't seem like that we found the fruit being born that we expected. The psalmist, you read all through the Psalms, they felt this way too. David and Asaph, in one place in the 73rd chapter, Asaph said, "As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Listen to this. "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain." See, he was looking at the prosperity of the wicked and he was envious. Seemed like they didn't have the structure in place for good. They weren't doing what seemed like ought to bring forth good fruit. Yet it looked like they were doing better than he was. He did everything he knew to do, cleansed his heart, and yet he looked around and he said, "Well, maybe I've just cleansed it in vain. Maybe there was no reason for this. It just doesn't seem like the result is what I thought was going to be." We can feel the same way in life. We can get to these places in different areas and segments of our life. The olive tree part of our life, the stall part, the fold, the vine part. And we do everything we know to do. And yet we can get to the place where we too feel like Asaph. Have I done it in vain? Have I done all of this to no avail? Yet, let's read the 18th verse. This is an unexpected response. After all of this that happened, here's what Habakkuk said. Yet, nevertheless, however, in spite of, even though all of this work processes, even though the structure was in place for good, even though labor was given to these things, yet, nevertheless, however, in spite of, these things, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hind's feet, like deer feet, that can climb in high places, that can navigate difficult places in life. He will make my feet like hind's feet. Folks, with whatever is wrong in our lives, the Lord wants us, in the final analysis, to find our strength in Him. He wants us to rejoice because He is our God. He is the one that has the final say. He is the one that understands how to cause things to turn out in the very best way when we don't know how. He works when we don't know He's working. I want to say that again. Get a hold of this. God is working when you don't realize He's working. God is dealing with people, with your loved ones, when you don't realize that He's dealing. Contrary to what it looks like, the Lord sometimes is dealing with people when it looks like they are the farthest away from God. God is working for good in your life when it appears that exactly the opposite is happening. And the Lord wants us to rejoice in Him because of that. Because He's our strength. He is our God. He is the one that is in control. Jeremiah said, "It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." In the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. The Scriptures bear that out. God looks at things differently than we look at them. And many times what we do is we feel like that if we've got everything in place, the structure's in place, I've done everything I know to do, then this is what's going to result at this time. But the Lord said, wait, hold on. Just have faith in Me. Let Me do My thing. You do yours. You let Me do Mine. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep believing, regardless of what the situation looks like. David said in the 37th Psalm, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall." Well, what? A good man fall? That's what it said. Though he fall. He's talking about the good man. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Sometimes we feel like we've fallen. Sometimes we feel like that we're at the end. Sometimes we feel like that the situations that are in our lives are at the end. It can't go any further before something catastrophic happens. But this verse says in the 37th Psalm, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." On our time frame always? No. Not always on our time frame. Most times not. But He is a God who will uphold us with His hand. If we will stay strong, if we will stay true, if we will continue to trust and believe and to press like we heard a couple of Sundays ago, keep pressing, keep pushing, don't give up. We serve a God who will be faithful to help us in our time of need. And God is looking for a people who will believe regardless. God wants a people who will believe in Him, regardless of the situation that is around us, regardless of what the fruit looks like from our own labor. The Lord is looking for a people who will have faith in Him. This morning, I would like to especially encourage you with two things today that I hope you will take with you. When facing things in life that may seem overwhelming, when you face the unexpected challenge that can rock your boat, because we all will face them. We get hit from behind and we don't know where it came from. I want to encourage you with two things. I want to write it on the board. The first one is, do right.
regardless.
Do what you know is the right thing to do, regardless of your situation, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the fruit that you believe is not being born, regardless of, it seems like that the labor that you put forth to do right and to do good, that is not resulting in anything. So the tendency is to just throw up my hands. It's like, okay, that's not working, I'll just quit. I want to exhort you this morning and encourage you that continue to do right. Continue to do what you know God wants you to do, regardless of your situation. And two, maintain confidence. I'm going to abbreviate. With God. With expectation. Do you know that you can do each of these without the other? You can do right regardless of your situation, but your confidence in God, and particularly your expectation for good, can be in the gutter. Okay, I guess I'll do what's right. I guess I'm just going to keep plodding on. Okay, well, the scripture says to do this. Well, I know this is the right thing, so I guess that's just what I'll do. But there sure doesn't seem to be any good coming from it. Sure does seem like it's just dark all around me. I guess I'll keep shining this light that seems to just get swallowed up in this dark black hole. But I'm going to keep plodding forward. You can do that without expectation of God, without really having confidence that God's going to do anything. Or you can do number two. People do this too. Things don't start going very well, so you change paths. That didn't work, I'll do it my way. And in the meantime, I'm going to pray to God with high expectation. Lord, your promises said that if I come to you and I ask, you'll give me the desire of my heart. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm praying to you for this thing. And in the meantime, we're not doing what we know is right to do because we've lost confidence in that. So we're going to turn to our own way, but at the same time, we're going to keep looking to God with expectation that He's going to turn everything around, but now we're doing it our own way. It is very important in life that we do both of these things. These are both necessary keys. The three Hebrew children, that's what they did. They exercised both of these. They came to the king and they said, "O king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter." They weren't being disrespectful. They weren't saying we're going to be careless about this. What they were saying is, we're settled. We're going to do right regardless of the fire that you're saying you're going to throw us in. We are not going to change and detour the path that we are on to do right. And number two, and oh, by the way, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from that. We have confidence in Him. We have expectation that in the end, He is going to be the God of the day, not your idol. And then they went back to this one. And they said, however, if we don't get delivered from that fiery furnace, just want you to make sure you understand, we are going to serve God regardless. And the enemy can get us into this trick of doing one or the other and feeling like we're doing the right thing. Well, I'm doing what's right. But you lost your expectation in God. Your confidence. You let it get down. You dropped it. You started looking down instead of looking up to the hills from whence cometh my help. Or you can have a great testimony of maintaining confidence in God with expectation, but in the meantime, you're making some little modifications to doing what you know is right to do. And I just want to encourage everybody today, do them both. Yes, amen. Yet, I will rejoice, regardless of my situation.
Jesus chided Thomas. He rebuked him a little bit. Thomas said, I'll tell you what. Unless I'm able to put my fingers in his hands where those nails went in, and unless I'm able to actually put and thrust my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe. Unless I can see it with my eyes. And it was about 8 days later, or maybe I'm off a little bit. It was a week or a few days later. Jesus showed up, and the scriptures, I don't know what Jesus, the first thing he said was, but about the first thing that you read in the scriptures was Jesus looked at Thomas, because he knew what he said, he knew what his heart was, he knew what was going on in his mind, just like Jesus knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. And the first thing Jesus said was, hey Thomas, go ahead, put your finger here. Thrust your hand in my side. No, go ahead. Go ahead, do it. Put it here. He said, you believe because you see. But blessed are they which see not and yet believe still. Blessed are they that are going to do right regardless of whether or not it looks like things are going right. Blessed are they who maintain confidence and believe in me regardless of what is going on. And you know what Thomas said? My Lord and my God. That came from his heart. Jesus touched his heart. My Lord and my God. And I feel moved by that this morning. I want to live my life always with a prayer from the innermost part of my heart. My Lord and my God. I will do right regardless. My Lord and my God, you are God. And I have expectation in you. My confidence is in you. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will trust. Regardless of what is going on around me. Listen, the enemy is out to contest your experience. The enemy is out to take away your joy. The enemy is out to discourage you. The enemy is out to try to make you feel like you are a unique individual set apart from the people of God that are, for whatever unique reason, you are not qualified to receive the promises of God. That's a lie. It's not true. But he is out to cause us all to feel that way. And he gets us where it hurts. The enemy comes in against us like a flood, right where it hurts the most. He can come right into our home. He can come right into our lives. He can come right in and start poking around on those things that are most important to us. And yet the Lord wants us to have the testimony in the heart of Habakkuk. Yet, I am not going to let the enemy steal, kill, and destroy. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing. Don't be weary. Why did he say that? Because he knew that there are times you're going to feel weary in well-doing. There's going to be times you're going to feel weary in doing right regardless. You feel like giving up. It's a human. I felt it. It's a human experience. You just feel like, okay, forget it. I'll do something else. Be not weary in doing what you know is right to do. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. Who gets to define when due season is? Do I get to? Do you get to define when the due season is? No. The Lord does. Because he knows when due season, when it's the right season. So our responsibility is continue to do good. Don't be weary in well-doing. Because if you don't faint, if you don't give up, if you don't give in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. And Paul also said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord also means do what you know to do is right. Regardless of the situation, be unmovable in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. The enemy likes to tell you your labor's in vain. You failed. So you look at the fruit.
So no fruit's coming. You didn't do right. You might as well give up. That's the enemy. Do right regardless. And the psalmist that we talked about who said, verily, I cleanse my heart in vain. It didn't end there. In the 17th verse of the 73rd chapter of Psalms, it said, until I went into the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Until he got to the place where he began to take a higher altitude view and was informed by the Spirit of God in the sanctuary where God dwelt and was able to see through the eyes of God, then he understood he was on the right track after all. So are you, if you'll do this. This morning, we can be successful by the grace and power of God. And I want to say to you today, if you are encouraged this morning, if you are on top of the world this morning, and you don't feel the enemy anywhere around you, enjoy that place. And tuck this message away, but keep it close. Because the enemy will arrive. And he'll knock on your door at an unexpected time, and he'll be there. And the Lord wants you to take this message out when that happens, that you will be able to say, I expected it, I will yet rejoice. And if you are here this morning and you do feel discouraged, perhaps you're discouraged with yourself. Perhaps you're discouraged with what you deem as failure in your own life. If you're here today and you do not feel like the fruit of your labor in your relationships with other people, with your children, at work, at school, in the congregation, there's problems, there's issues. You feel like you failed. Perhaps you have a mountain in your life that is bigger than you are. Perhaps you're discouraged and you feel like Elijah did, where he just felt like just laying down and giving it up and calling it quits. Despair. If life doesn't hold much hope for you, you look out ahead and it's like, what does life have for me? It's time to fortify yourself. It's time to square your shoulders. It's time to look up with expectation and put this key to use. Do right regardless. Maintain your expectation in God. We are on the absolute right track living this way, folks. We're not on the wrong track. We're not going astray. This isn't second best in life. This isn't going to be in vain. By the grace and help of God, we are on the right track. Following the Word of God as best as we possibly know how. Giving our lives to this way. This is the right way. And my exhortation to you this morning is that we put in practice the word yet, as described by Habakkuk. Nevertheless, I will rejoice. I will be true to the Lord. I will maintain my confidence in Him. Let's join Habakkuk this morning in this purpose, in this confidence, and in this faith, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. May God bless each one of you this morning, is my prayer. Amen.